It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth. You know, springtime comes in Alaska, or breakup, whatever you want to call it. And pretty soon we have fish in the rivers and we have green things growing and everybody's getting energized and going out and making their year's income if they're seasonal workers. And one of those signs of spring is the first visitors, the first tourists who show up in downtown Anchorage. And somehow you can always pick them out of a crowd. You know who they are. And they're actually bringing a huge part of our economy to Anchorage. They're bringing their dollars that they're spending to have the trip of a lifetime or whatever it is to come and see where we live, which is kind of an honor if you think about it. It's kind of neat. They also can kind of get in the way at times, so people have different feelings about them. Anyway, our topic today is the visitor industry, its impact on Anchorage, how it's going, how you can get involved. And your thoughts. How do you feel when you see the first flow of visitors show up in Anchorage? And starting out with, I have two guests. Julie Soppy is in the studio. She's the president and CEO of Visit Anchorage, formerly known as the Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And on the phone from Bellingham is Heather Hoagland. She's an economist with the McDowell Group. Heather, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Heather, you've done quite a bit of research on the size and impact of the visitor industry in Alaska. I know it employs a lot of people, but how does it stack up with our other industries, and what kind of impact does it have on the economic activity in Alaska?
Well, we did a study back in 2010, and that was measuring impacts from the calendar year, for a 12-month period between October 2008 and September 2009. That study found that the total economic impact of the visitor industry ended up at 36,000 jobs. There's a total number of about 400,000 workers in Alaska, or 400,000 jobs. So visitor industry is certainly very important in the state, and it has it reaches into lots of different sectors, and that's why it makes it a little difficult to measure, because it's in the air transportation sector, it's in the retail sector, accommodations, food services, etc. So it's one of those sectors, it's one of those industries that's a bit hard to measure, but it is important, and it also is very valuable in terms of it being a basic industry. It brings outside dollars into the state as opposed to support industries such as healthcare and things like that.
So, in other words, we're not passing these dollars back and forth. They're new dollars that we get in that we can then pass back and forth, however that works out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the latest statistics, we get like double the number of visitors every year as we actually have residents. Is that right?
Well, let's see. In 2011, we had 1,556,800 visitors. That was just for the summertime. And winter, it adds another 10% or so. Fall winter period is not nearly as important, of course. But that's about the total, 1.7 million for a calendar year.
Wow. So is that going up, going down, or staying the same?
Well, 2011 had our first good news in several years. It was our first increase since 2007. There was a 2% increase in total visitors to the state of Alaska.
And that's coming out of a very severe slump.
Yes. For several years, things have been going. The real drop was in 2009 and 2010. 2009, the sort of non-cruise sector was more affected. Also, 2008, the recession hitting Alaska was felt over the next couple of years. We had a little bit of a bump up in 2011. We do have indicators of further increases in 2012 so far with increased cruise capacity. So we hope that we've hit the bottom and are on our way back up.
Okay. Well, let me talk to my guest in the studio, Julie Soppy from Visit Anchorage, which people probably know better as ACVB, Alaska Convention and Visitors Bureau, its former name. Do you see evidence of increasing business, increasing tourism interest in Alaska, and are we on the comeback?
Yeah, we definitely here in South Central are on the comeback, and we've actually seen a comeback starting as early as 2010. 2009, certainly for the whole state, was devastating for the tourism industry. We started seeing recovery, I think, earlier than some parts of the state here in South Central. 2010, we saw growth. 2011, we saw close to 7% growth over 10. And word on the street when you're talking to our members, our hoteliers or airlines, certainly the cruise lines, we are expecting an increase from 11 this year now as well. So that's great news.
So in terms of when you look at your members who are providers, right, they're mm-hmm. businesses that are serving the visitor industry, how did that slump affect them, and how do what happens when it gets better? And I'm kind of asking this to put it in context for the listener out there thinking mm-hmm. about, well, are there going to be more jobs available? Are there going to be new businesses starting up, rates rising? What are the impacts of that on the street?
Well, certainly, like from the hotel perspective, rates are rising and rates are holding now. Hotels and the transportation companies were the first to really cut and discount rates to try to attract clients during those real tough years. I think that you will see, again, we've been growing the last couple of years in South Central, so some jobs have returned. People are still a little bit cautious. So the jobs returning, I think, are returning at a lower rate than maybe they were cut in 2009. But everybody is expecting some growth this year. And so I think from an employment perspective, from the part-time jobs available to our high school and college students, I think that you will see a good hiring season this year. I know for us at Visit Anchorage within our organization, I mean, we're about a 40-person organization, but we're adding two positions this year. So if that's indicative of what may be happening across the industry, you will see maybe some additional jobs put into mm-hmm. the market. Mm-hmm. And I know the study that the Anchorage Economic Development Corp does, they do their jobs forecasting, and they also are predicting real small, but 2-3% for the hospitality industry here in South Central.
Well, in this national economy, 2-3% is not too bad.
No.
So turning back to you, Heather Hoagland from the McDowell Group, there's different sectors of this tourism industry or this visitor industry. It's complex. Looking at the stats from this report that I guess came out covering 2011, which was, we've got it on our website. If you go to alaskapublic.org, you can find it. This is a report that was done by your group for the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, and splitting the industry into roughly 57% cruise ship, 39% air, and then I guess only 4% from highway and ferry. As you see things improving, are all sectors of all parts of the visitor industry improving the same, or more people coming on cruise ship, or how do you see those changes happening?
Cruise has been fairly flat the last couple of years. It does they do expect about a 6% increase next year. So that's what's going on in the cruise sector. The air sector, meaning people who come and go from Alaska by air, and it doesn't include any cruise ship people in that sector, that has been increasing. That had the big slump in 2009, and it's been looking up since then. So had a bit of a bump in 2011. Hopefully we'll see another bump in 2012. The highway ferry market, as you mentioned, is only 4% of the total visitors, but, of course, it is important to many small businesses out there in Alaska on the highway system, as well as in Southeast on the ferry system. So that has been decreasing along with an overall trend in the visitor industry of shorter trips closer to home. So those long-haul travelers have been going down, those people who come from the lower 48 in their RVs and spend 3 weeks or 3 months in Alaska. So that's been going down, but I think indicators are for that to make that has been slowing, that the decrease has been slowing, and I think we may see some increase in 2012 as well.
Is that, do you think, because of fuel prices that people don't want to drive the miles to get to Alaska?
Yes, fuel prices is definitely a factor, as well as just the tendency to take shorter trips. That sort of demographic has been changing. So, I would definitely say that fuel prices have been a factor in the overall economy, and then people having less time to travel.
Less time to travel because if they've got a job and can afford a trip, then they're working a lot of hours and don't have as much vacation time?
Yeah, for sure. And I think one interesting trend we saw in 2011 was an increase in what we call VFRs, people visiting their friends and relatives. And I think that makes sense that people are going and staying with their Aunt Sally in Anchorage rather than taking a big trip and spending a lot on hotels, things like that. So it was interesting to see that trend, a reflection, I think, of the recession.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about this being a basic industry that brings dollars to Alaska, but a lot of the employees who come are not Alaskans. In other words, we don't have enough people, I guess, to fill all those summer jobs. And there is a report that I shared with you before we went, when we were talking about this, from the Department of Labor on non-residents working in Alaska. And it looks like about 40% of these jobs go to non-residents. I wonder if you could talk about the economic impact of that. Does that mean that that percentage of the money from the industry goes away, or are those folks spending their money here anyway?
Oh, certainly people do spend some of their earnings in the state. I would say that the 40% figure you're referring to, I think, is only referring to accommodation, unless I'm not looking at the right number. But I think overall in the visitor industry, it's not quite that high, because they look at air transportation, that's 20%. Amusement is 30%. Also keep in mind that the average for statewide is 20%. So Alaska does have a high non-resident hire rate. The tourism industry, being a seasonal industry, naturally has a higher than average non-resident workforce. Kind of to put it in perspective, the seafood processing industry has 75% non-resident. The oil industry is up there too. So, so it is important to keep those kinds of figures in mind, and just the nature of the state's economy and our small population and the seasonal nature of tourism is going to result in a little bit higher non-resident. It's correct to state that some of those wages are leaving the state, but our study did not cover that part. But it wasn't within the scope of our study. So
right, it's hard to quantify because they don't break down the figures that way. So I'm looking at this chart from that study, and it says, mm-hmm. Air transportation 21% non-resident, scenic and sightseeing 52%. Amusement, gambling, recreation, 29%. So it's hard to get clear stats because you don't necessarily count them up that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And finally, is there, when we look at the different parts of the industry, are there parts that support more small businesses and other parts that more jobs in other parts? It's kind of a service industry, so I guess you have to hire a lot of people. But I didn't know if there was more economic impact from one part of the visitor industry or from another part.
I'm not sure about that. I could say that, there's certainly lots of large companies serving the visitor industry in Alaska, lots of cruise lines and other kinds of companies, but there are tons of small businesses and Alaska Travel Industry Association. I think over at least half or to three-quarters of their members are small businesses. So it's just one of those, it's an industry that really caters to small businesses, I believe. And certainly even the cruise lines, they're hiring small businesses themselves to support them, their own properties, such as hotels in the interior or all kinds of their operations and facilities. They're getting serviced by other small businesses.
Mm-hmm. And it's a relatively easy business to get into, I guess, because you can take Junior's bedroom and turn it into a B&B. At least, maybe. Not that easy, perhaps. Well, thanks very much for being with us, Heather. Heather Hoagland, who's an economist with the McDowell Group, has been on the phone with us from Bellingham. I appreciate your time very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Now, if you're interested in getting on the line and talking about our topic with Julie Soppy, who's the head of Visit Anchorage, have any questions, concerns about the visitor industry in Anchorage, anything to add? Maybe you're a member of this industry and have ways that you'd like to see it enhanced. You can get on the air with us by calling 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or from outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752. And email is a great way to get on, especially if you're at work. hometown@alaskapublic.org. That's hometown@alaskapublic.org. And I read those emails on the air for our guests. Julie, when we live here, we know what's so great about Alaska. We know why we live here. Mm-hmm. Why do visitors want to come and visit Alaska? The same reasons we want to live here?
A lot of the same reasons, yes. The studies, and actually Heather's firm was involved in some of these studies as well. But when people are planning a trip and thinking about what destination am I going to go to, and when they finally decide on Alaska, the reasons that always kind of bubble to the surface, reasons that residents are here, I think particularly here in Anchorage, it's wildlife, It's mountains, scenic beauty, glaciers. They want to see all of these things, which is fabulous. And again, for Anchorage, we can offer all of these things. So those are really great things for Anchorage as a destination to look at and to be able to promote. What I always find interesting, though, is after somebody's come to Alaska, and we ask them, what did you really enjoy about Alaska? What stood out? You know, did we meet your expectations along those lines? And yes, we did, but what really stands out to them, and this may be why people stay here, is the people. They loved experiencing and meeting and getting to know Alaskans and just finding out more about us and what we do and what we do in the winter and answering those kind of questions. But apparently they get that very friendly welcome that they're looking for, which I think speaks volumes about why perhaps we stay here as residents.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
So you survey visitors who've come to Alaska to find out what was good about their experience and what wasn't so good about the experience. And they, I'm sure they gush about the wildlife. And
yes.
Do they, what sort of negative things do people say? What could we do better?
You know, the most recent survey done by the McDowell Group, the one thing that really surprised me that stood out, and it wasn't that that we got really low marks, but I'm always so impressed with all of our dining and restaurant experiences in Anchorage. Dining, actually, as an experience for the Alaska visitor, has gone down in the last 5 years, which just stood out to me as a surprise. Again, it wasn't a big red flag or anything, and that's not why people necessarily travel to Alaska, although certainly enjoying some of the great Alaska seafood is on the list. What really stood out, though, is that when we asked questions about, was this trip of value to you? Did you get the value you expected out of it? And did it meet your expectations? Alaska scored extremely well, in the upper 90s as far as meeting the expectations of the visitors. So that was tremendous because, as you know, word of mouth marketing is very important. And to know that at least the visitors who came up in 2011 were leaving very satisfied is great for a future business.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'd like to make it even better and figure out ways that you could improve their experience more, because that's kind of, you know, for one thing, you just like them to have a nice time, but also that'll bring them back again. We can't like get rid of rainy days, but what can we do to make Alaska even better for visitors, or to avoid ruining the good things we've got?
Well, you know, we're always looking from a service standpoint. You know, can we be providing better service training? Again, the scores in the study seem to indicate that we are doing a good job, but you can always improve there. From a destination development standpoint here in Anchorage, you know, we'd love to see additional products offered, just things to keep folks busy longer so that maybe they'll stay an extra night even. And, you know, the last couple of years we've had some unique products offered, things like we now have a ghost tour of downtown Anchorage, which is a lot of fun, and it gives people a chance to learn a little bit about our history and to actually take a walking tour through the downtown area. This year we've got some additional walking tours being added, one focused on art, one focused on dining. So anytime that we can add to the products that are available here in Anchorage, we're always happy to have something additional to market.
And I mean, if what they're really after is wildlife and scenery, there's certainly plenty of it in Alaska, but access isn't always that easy.
Right. Access, you know, particularly we've got Chugach State Park here, which is such a resource for us, and access into the park. You know, we've got some shuttle services that go up to Flat Top. But getting that information, connecting the visitors with the ways that they can access some of these great natural lands, or even just connecting them with the coastal trail. For some of our visitors, that is a wild experience. We're pretty spoiled here, and we get used to those things. You know, and you're asking what else could we offer, and there's been some visions of doing a hut-to-hut system through Chugach State Park. That would be something fabulous to be able to offer, easy, safe access, but allowing people kind of longer stays and destinations within the park would be a fabulous thing to offer. And the other area that I really look towards for future development and enhancing the product that we have here at Ship Creek. It's such a great resource, so much potential, and we just have to figure out a way to develop that area and turn it into a nice location for residents and visitors as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I used to write travel guidebooks, mm-hmm. The Frommer's yes. guidebooks and Alaska for Dummies and Alaska mm-hmm. Day by Day. It kind of got old after a while. Did it for about 15 years. But one of the things that always was fun about it was looking at Anchorage and how many pages I had to devote to outdoor activities. There's mm-hmm. so much to do here, and it's very easy to get jaded as a resident, as you say. And I talked to a lot of visitors, and I can't tell you how many times I heard, wow, the best part, you know, one of the best parts of my visit was the coastal trail mm-hmm. because it's so easy. Yeah. It's right next to the hotel and you're down there and you can look at ducks and mountains and you might even get lucky and see a beluga whale and you're suddenly in Alaska. And mm-hmm. we think of that as being just the most basic in-town thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I got home from work the other day, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and the coastal trail, you look at downtown now and we've got a lot of bicycle rentals. I mean, those mm-hmm. have really popped up only in the last 5 years or so. And those three very small businesses are keeping very busy and helping people get out onto that coastal trail or get out and explore other areas of our town through a very hands-on, tangible mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. Doesn't always have to be expensive, I guess.
No.
So it's Hometown Alaska. My name is Charles Woolforth. Our topic today is the visitor industry. Julie Soppy is in the studio with me. She's the president and CEO of Visit Anchorage. And now I'd like to invite Susie Kiger to the air from the Alaska Railroad. Susie, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, thanks so much for being here. We were just talking about access to the places where the visitors really want to be, which is the glaciers and the beautiful landscapes and not necessarily on the highway, you know.
Right.
I guess the Alaska Railroad is it. I mean, you really are a very unique avenue into incredibly wild places that people would never witness the like of
yes.
without a lot of roadside development. It's all just the way it used to be when the railroad was built.
That's right. And, of course, we have been working on a project. Julie has started to talk about the access to the Chugach. And I couldn't help but think about our Chugach Whistle Stop service that is a partnership with the U.S. Forest Service providing access to a remote area of the rail belt where you can only get out to this location by, you know, train is the only access.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And I think a lot of residents don't really know about it. And I'd welcome you to just outline what that's
sure.
all about and how people can use it.
Sure. Well, we utilize the existing Glacier Discovery train, and that has been the train for many years, but that went only from Anchorage on to Whittier, and then it stopped there, waited for the people to go out and do their day cruises, and then it came back in the evening. Now, I think it was our avalanche technician that told us that we should be extending that service and taking them on a little further south through this beautiful area past the Spencer Glacier and on out to the Grand View Valley. And for those who have been traveling on the train between Anchorage and Seward, they know the area that I'm talking about, and this is the stretch of the Alaska Rail Belt that's by far the most spectacular of the entire route, in my opinion, and many others have the same opinion.
Oh, I agree completely. It's amazing, and some of those trestles are amazing in that bit where it goes along the, is it the Placer Glacier or the Spencer Glacier?
Yes, the Placer River mm-hmm. and the Spencer Glacier. The Placer River feeds out of the lake there.
Oh, I got you.
And
okay.
Down the Placer River and on out to the inlet. And with the help of some outdoor guided services like Chugach Adventure Guides and now Ascending Path, we're working with both companies to provide guided tours such as rafting, canoeing, hiking, ice climbing, ice hiking, and just even gentle, you know, guided walks with the natural or the ranger, the interpreter, that's from the Chugach National Forest Service.
Oh, I see. So you don't necessarily have to do a package thing. You could just go up there and do a ranger program, essentially?
Sure, sure. The ranger comes with the train ticket, and there's no extra cost for that. The ranger's out there every day and does a guided walk down to the lakeside where you can view the glacier and have a great opportunity to take some pictures and learn a little bit about the glaciology of the area.
Wow, that's neat. And how much does it cost to do that?
That is $109.
Okay.
For round trip from Anchorage. Now, of course, you could drive down to Portage from Anchorage or from wherever and get on the train at Portage and the cost then is the $70 to go in there and back out.
I see. And there's really no other way to get there.
Well, of course, you could fly in by helicopter, land, you know, you know, there's always that opportunity.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, it's take the train in.
I suppose you could parachute in, too. But that's
there's no roads and no trails to access that area.
That's fabulous. I bet that's unique in the country. Have you started yet for your season, or when will you be starting?
No, our first train heads out of here on the 12th of May, and that will be the service southbound from Anchorage to Seward. And then on the 19th of May, we begin service on the Glacier Discovery train, which, as I mentioned, goes into Whittier, then on out to Spencer Glacier and Grandview. However, the snow loads in the area at Spencer Glacier and Grandview are quite heavy this year, so we don't anticipate opening that area until sometime early June.
Yeah, if the snow ever melts this year. Yeah.
We'll certainly offer the service from here to Whittier. So the day trips to Whittier will be offered with the cruises out of Whittier.
Now, your most famous and sort of bread and butter, I suppose, is the rail up to Denali, where you run Alaska Railroad's own cars and I believe two different classes of service. And then there's a Princess and a Holland America.
Yes.
And then there's some other cruise cars attached to that as well, right?
Yes. Royal Celebrity also has a pool contract with us. So all three companies now are attached to the back of our train.
Now, I'm sure that you are like yours best, but in terms of people who are thinking about advising visiting friends and relatives to Alaska, what are the considerations in going up to Denali by train? Sort of what are the different products you offer and what are the choices people would want to make?
Okay. Well, we offer the Denali Star train. That's the name of the train, and that is a service that begins at Anchorage at 8:15 in the morning and goes all the way through to Fairbanks, and it makes stops in Wasilla, Talkeetna, and Denali. And there's a southbound train that begins in Fairbanks, same time schedule, and comes all the way through to Anchorage on a daily basis, and that begins May 16th and ends on September 16th. And we offer the two classes of service, as you mentioned. We have the Gold Star service. That is our premium service, which includes the confirmed seat in the upper level of the glass-domed car with the outdoor deck at the upper level where people can stand on that deck and look out over the back of the train and take photographs. In my opinion, it's the best place to be on the train. And you can be outdoors under a protected glass dome and you get the best pictures from there. Of course, there's no glass obstructing your view or anything in front of you. The dining is at the lower level of the car, and that's pay-as-you-go. You just come on down and have your meal when you're ready. And the folks in Adventure Class are seated in the cars, several cars back, and they're single-level cars. They're still quite spacious and great views from the cars, so they don't have the glass overhead. So the views of the panoramic view through the glass window, of course, is not included there, but it is at a lower cost and about $85 difference in the price point for the most part.
And when you mentioned the cost, do you still do the discounts at early season so that sort of locals can try it out?
Yes, we have quite a variety of discounts. Of course, for Alaskans, it's 20% off of our retail price point at any time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So in the early season, we're pushing out a lot of promotions with the hotels. They have some good deals on the hotel rates, and we package that with their rate to extend a package deal to the Alaska residents and visiting friends and family. So if you look on our website, there's quite a few deals listed. We always have a Deals for Alaska section with a little better price point for the regular prices that we have. And the combination of the rail and the hotel to Denali and Talkeetna are listed there, along with some day cruises to Seward and to Whittier.
And I always think every Anchorage parent has an obligation to take their kid on the train at least once. Otherwise, they're going to grow up without ever having been on a train.
That's right. And we have a special we've been running for years, and it's Kids Ride Free, and that's not out there yet, but it's coming soon. Once school is out, we'll have a short period of time where we will extend an offer for the kids to ride for free.
Neat. So there's been quite a bit of news about the railroad of a sort of a more negative nature in terms of you lost some business moving petroleum down from North Pole, and then there's some issue in Washington about money that might not be available for some work on the railroad. Is that going to affect in any way your passenger offerings or what you're able to do with the visitor industry?
Certainly not in the near future. You know, we don't have any plans to change prices or discontinue service. All services will continue as usual. So pretty much business as usual at the Alaska Railroad. Of course, we're watching our dollars, of course, with the reduction in the business on the freight side. And we certainly don't see any impact of the service, even from the loss of the federal funds. We wouldn't see that for a number of years if that were to happen. And it's all a big unknown at this time.
Okay. Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us, Susie Karger with the Alaska Railroad.
Okay. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Great. Well, we'll be back in a moment after a break, and I'll give out those phone numbers again if you want to get involved in the show. We're going to be talking to an employment specialist about how folks can get a job in the visitor industry, and more with Julie Soppy from Visit Anchorage about just how it plays into Anchorage's life in the summertime and year-round, I guess. So stay with us on Hometown Alaska. My name is Charles Wolforth. We'll be back soon.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
We're back. It's Hometown Alaska. My name is Charles Wolforth, and our topic today is the visitor industry in Anchorage. If you'd like to get involved or have questions for our guests, the phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433, or outside of Anchorage, 888-353-5752. The email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And I'm speaking with my guest, Julie Soppy, who is the president and CEO of Visit Anchorage, formerly called Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau. Actually, can you briefly mm-hmm. tell us why you changed the name and what the new name is all about?
Yeah, I can. There were several reasons for changing the name. I think at the forefront, this late fall, we launched a new website. And in the process of launching that, we were trying to make sure that we did everything we could on the back end to optimize its search engine rankings. And just doing some research, Visit Anchorage as an organization name certainly will help in search engine rankings. But also it's a call to action. A lot of people got us confused with AEDP and AEDC and several other kind of economic growth organizations who are all great organizations. But we decided, you know, Visit Anchorage really cuts to the heart of what we do. We liked that it was a call to action, and we also liked from a marketing perspective what it could do out there for search engine optimization. So a lot of discussion went into it, and we finally decided, well, let's just do it. And certainly we're not groundbreaking. A lot of other convention and visitors bureaus across the country have changed their naming protocol over the last 2 or 3 years. Visit seemed to be the one, based on the research we did, that would really help from a marketing perspective.
Mm-hmm. So now the organization is private with a private board of directors, but it's also mm-hmm. funded by a tax levy or the hotel motel tax and also rental car tax. Or how are you funded, and how much money do you have in your budget annually?
Yeah, we are funded by 1/3 of the bed tax. Right now, there's 12%. Tax on any overnight accommodations, bed and breakfast if your 3 rooms or higher, or hotels. And of that 12%, 4% is kind of designated for tourism marketing. And this past year, you know, depending on what kind of year we have, that tax in total will be anywhere from $18 million to $22 million. And we, as I said, get roughly 1/3 of that. The other third, or one other third, stays with the municipality of Anchorage, and that goes straight into the general fund and helps to offset property taxes. And then the final third right now is paying the bond debt on the Denina Convention Center, and that's how that building was funded for the community. It was all through visitor taxes. So that's our funding model. So the past few years, about $6 million comes to our organization through the bed tax, through the municipality. In addition to that, through private funding, memberships, through advertising sales, through sponsorships, whatever we can generate ourselves, is about another $1 million from the industry directly.
And so how your mission is to promote tourism in Anchorage.
Yes.
How do you do that?
a number of ways. There's some very specific audiences. Of course, the consumer audience, which, you know, is huge. And, of course, we don't have enough marketing dollars to try to, you know, cut through the clutter ourselves.
You spend your whole budget on one Super Bowl ad.
Exactly, right? Exactly. But certainly our website efforts and reaching out to known lists of people who are coming to Alaska. So we work with the cruise lines. We try to train cruise agents. And reservations agents and travel agents on how to sell extra days in Anchorage for their clients who are purchasing cruises. Another way is conventions. Certainly one of our tasks from our members is to expand the season. July, oftentimes many of our members are full. January, February, March, they're not quite as full. And so we have a very vibrant, busy conventions department with sales managers who work with meeting planners throughout the country and really throughout the world on trying to convince them to bring their meeting right here to Anchorage. And that's how we can fill in the off season. And so we are very active in the meetings market, trying to fill those businesses.
So there's a lot of one-on-one sales involved, not
It's a very intensive relationship building business, that side of our duties for sure. Yes.
I'd like to go to a caller. Susan is calling from Seward. Did you have a question?
Well, I kind of had a statement that feeds right into my husband and I came up here 4 years ago to a convention, then came back a year later for a week and stayed in Seward, and went home and decided to move up here. And now our residence, and last summer I worked for the cruise line. So I was able to give some of that joy back that I received when I got here to the folks getting off the buses coming into Seward to get on the cruise ship.
Oh, that's great. Well, what was it about Alaska that that sold you? I'm sure everybody we talked to would have a different story, but what particularly grabbed you when you came up here?
It was, as you mentioned earlier, the people, and we just decided we wanted to be part of the absolute welcoming that we had experienced when we came up here. We wanted to be part of that, and I just had such a wonderful time expressing that to everybody getting off the buses, coming in to get on the ship, and so that was it. It was the people, and now we're very proud to be part of the people.
That's so neat. So what is your job exactly when you're just telling them how to get from here to there, or what are you doing?
I would be at the front door here at the terminal and greet them when they got off the bus and show them how to go through the line. I also got to hand out cookies, which was a great, great time. Just lots of smiles and what can we do for you and where and what would you like to see while you have time before you get on the ship and where to eat. And that sort of thing.
Yeah. So it's you're dealing with happy people, so that must make the day go quickly.
It was. It was just, it's just a really, really good time.
Yeah. But I wonder, you know, it seems like a seasonal employment like that, you kind of have to do something else too, right? Or how do you make ends meet?
I'm a pastry chef.
Oh, really? Neat. Well, thanks for being with us. That was a great call. I enjoyed hearing about it.
Well, thank you for what you're talking about. I'm enjoying listening to it.
Great. Next, I'd like to go to Kelly, who's calling from Anchorage. Kelly?
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. I just wanted to mention I'm actually a tourism business owner, and I also sit on the advisory committee for the Keene Career Center, who is reinstating their tourism program. And this is for high school students to be able to go and learn about the tourism program, tourism in Alaska history, Alaska geography, about the industry and customer service. So it's a great opportunity for any parents out there listening should tell their kids about it. Gateway into the industry and, you know, what employer doesn't want people with that good customer service and job readiness that the Career Center provides for students.
Oh, that's great. So it's fulfilling, a larger percentage of those jobs can go to local people rather than folks
right.
from outside.
Right. You know, we've always, I know AC, Visit Anchorage has been a big proponent of trying to get the word out to our Alaskan youth and college students that this is a great entry into the industry, but also you can make a career out of it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, if I could just... I think I know Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
she's exactly right. And one of the things, and I know you've got an employment expert coming on also, but my own personal experience, and I look at it across the board in the industry now, I started tourism in 1980 as a part-time summer job, and it kept me coming back every summer because I knew that that job was still waiting as I went through high school and then college. I'd come back every summer, and it turned into a full-time opportunity, and then it turned into a career. And so I know a lot of people really talk about, oh, well, tourism, it's just these part-time summer jobs. Well, those summer jobs are meaningful to students, and they also really can turn into careers. And if you look at the industry and you look at the leaders in the industry now, many of them started washing buses.
Right. And Kelly, what's your business? What do you do in the tourism industry?
We own Lazy Otter Charters in Whittier, so it's a water taxi business. But I've grew up in Alaska, went to the Career Center tourism program for myself in the 80s, and then grew up in the industry and made it a career as well. So it's nice to have the program back and just want people to know about it so they can kind of steer their kids into a really good industry.
That's great. I'm curious about how the charter industry has been going the last few years. Are you finding that... visitors are coming back? Did you lose a lot of business during the down years that we've just gone through?
You know, just like they said, everybody kind of suffered a little in 2009, but the charter industry is good enough that we expanded our business last year, and we're looking really positive for this year, so I'm feeling pretty confident. A lot of just really independent travelers that are booking all of their own stuff and calling us and doing it online, so we're feeling pretty confident with what we've got on the book so far.
Great. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate you having you on the air with us.
Thank you very much.
We're talking about the visitor industry in Hometown Alaska today. My name is Charles Wolforth, and Julie Soppy from Visit Anchorage, formerly ACVB, is in the studio with me. And now I'd like to welcome Nancy Heckman from the Alaska Department of Labor. Nancy?
Good morning. Good afternoon, I mean.
Afternoon, right. Well, thanks for being with us. And
You're welcome.
Been talking a little bit about employment in the visitor industry, and there's just a tremendous amount of jobs that have to be filled every summer or every spring. And that's kind of part of your job is connecting jobs with people. And how do you go about doing that?
It certainly is a busy time of year. It's really exciting because there's a lot of jobs available, and we have a lot of job seekers coming in to get lined up for summer work. And one of the things that we do a lot of at the job center is we have a seafood office, so we have a lot of companies coming in right now that are doing hiring for processors for the summer. They're mostly summer jobs. The last couple of days we've been pretty involved in getting 500 or 600 herring processors ready to go out the middle of May out to Bristol Bay to do some herring processing for jobs that will last for a couple of weeks. But after that, we have salmon season coming up, which starts in June, and it goes to they peak right around July 4th, and the season's pretty much over about mid-July. And there will be hundreds of opportunities to work in the canneries this summer out in Bristol Bay and Naknek and those areas for applicants that are interested in going to a remote work site, seeing Alaska. And most of those folks, those companies, pay your room and board and your transportation, so it's a good way to stock away some money. But we also have a lot of companies that are recruiting for hospitality industry. The typical ones are going to be the Princess Tours and the Gray Line, Royalty Celebrity Tours. There's lots of companies that are hiring for their summer staff right now. So there certainly is a lot of opportunity. It's really an exciting time at the job center.
Yeah. Well, just focusing on the visitor industry, what kinds of jobs are typically available to presumably a young person looking for seasonal work, and what kind of pay could they expect to get?
Well, there are certainly a lot of jobs with companies such as Aramark and Doyon who are hiring people to go work at Denali National Park. And in those circumstances, they pay a small fee, I believe, for their housing. And the wages are right around, I believe, $9, $10 an hour. And so they're staffing up a lot of workers to work in the hotels and the restaurants, and Nana Management is another one of the contractors for the jobs in Denali Park. So generally speaking, in the hospitality industry, you're looking at average wages probably anywhere between $8 and $12 an hour. Some of the places that are remote, of course, will provide housing for you and room and board. Some places you have to pay part of your room and board. I believe some of the contractors at Denali Park charge $15 a day for your housing, but it's not a large amount. But summer jobs, one of the really great places to go to look for summer jobs is, of course, our website, which is Alexis, because we have a lot of those companies posting their job ads on Alexis right now, so there's literally hundreds of jobs posted there. But another website that I like to encourage people to visit is coolworks.com. That's a great website to go to look for summer work as well.
All right. We'll make sure to get those up on our website so folks can find them at alaskapublic.org. Alexis is spelled how? I mean, what's the...
Well, it's www.jobs.alaska.gov.
Got you.
So that's the state website where we have 21 offices all over the whole state, and they all link into one giant job database. And so you can actually go into our website, and you can look for work in any part of the state because each of the job centers and all the locations feed into this one job bank. So if you're looking for work in Denali Park, or if you want to go to Dutch Harbor or any of those remote places, you can go to Alexis and take a look at the jobs that are available in those areas.
When we talk about a lot of jobs being available, I mean, is it kind of true that if you are interested in working for $10 an hour and interested in, work in a kitchen or working in a hotel, you pretty much can get a job. I mean, although we have a high unemployment rate in our country, in our state, there are jobs available for seasonal workers in the visitor industry.
Right, and Alaska has a lower unemployment rate than the lower 48, and there is an awful lot of jobs available. I think one of the hardest parts for a lot of people is just finding out where to go to find those jobs. And at the job center, we have a list of all the contractors, say, that work on the slope, that hire people to work in the food service and the housekeeping and those kind of things, along with the oil rigs and things like that. But we also have handouts to give to people that gives you a whole list of places to go to look for summer jobs. So if you're at home and you have a computer, you can pick up one of the flyers at the job center. It's called Summer Jobs Websites. And take this home and go through it and look at all these companies that hire for the summer. It's a great resource for folks. And I also recommend strongly for folks that are looking for summer jobs, don't forget about those staffing agencies out there. Anchorage has some really great staffing agencies, and they have a lot of jobs right now. So a lot of people don't understand that the staffing agencies don't charge job seekers fees anymore to help them find work. The fees actually are on the employer's side, so job seekers that are looking for work for the summer should definitely check out the staffing agencies in town, because I've talked to several of them, and they have a lot of jobs to offer.
What are some of the skills that are in shortest demand? So if you have skilled jobs, driving a bus is obviously, you have to have a commercial driver's license, being a captain on a fishing boat, on a charter boat is obviously skilled. What are the slots where you wish, boy, I wish we had more people trained up in this area so we could fill these jobs?
Well, I think one of the jobs that we have a lot of in hospitality right now, especially for summer jobs, are probably in the kitchens, probably the cooks and the cook helpers. That's a really high demand area where there's not as many good candidates for those jobs as there is jobs. But also, one of the things that screens a lot of people out is a lot of places require you pass a background check. A lot of places require that you have an Alaska driver's license. There's a lot of hospitality companies that require their workers to have a driver's license in case they have to transport people back and forth to the airport. So having a good driving record, being able to pass a drug test, being able to pass a background check, those are kind of some of the things that screen folks out. But the skill sets for summer jobs generally are not so much that they require a lot of experience. Most of the hospitality jobs are just looking for somebody that's got really good customer service skills. They're looking for people that are going to treat their customers really, really well.
Friendly, outgoing, presentable, and all that.
You bet. Yeah, you bet.
Now, I have a son in college, and I keep emailing him about whether he has a job yet, and he keep not getting an email back, which is something I don't particularly like. And I'm wondering what the timing is. Are we already past when a lot of the hiring is taking place for the visitor industry, or is it still prime time for that?
It's still prime time for that. A lot of the folks are getting their setup done, but there is a lot of those seasonal jobs that cater to the college students, so they're ready and waiting for them to arrive back in Alaska after they get out of school. A lot of the positions for drivers, they kind of start with that process really early in the year. But like the McKinley Express, I know I had a coworker here that was trying to line something up for his daughter, and she was 16, and we referred her over to the McKinley Express, and she got a job actually riding the train back and forth to Fairbanks. She just loved it, working with the public, and she had to, you know, read tour information to folks that were traveling, and that's the nice thing about working in the travel industry is you're working with happy people. You know, most of the folks that are here vacationing, they're in a good mood.
Yeah, that's what we've been hearing.
But my friend was telling me and she had gone back and done that for several years because she had so much fun doing that. That McKinley Express is, they go to Fairbanks and then they turn around and come back and then they have a couple of days off. But that was just one of those fun jobs that she did for a couple of years. But there certainly is lots of places to go look for summer jobs. And NANA is one of the big contractors at Denali Park this year. So if you go to nana.com and look at their jobs, you'll see a lot of those for Denali Park posted already.
Yeah.
And you can still go in and apply right now.
And working
right
at Denali,
really good time.
Working at Denali would be a dream for a lot of people who enjoy the outdoors. Well, thanks very much for being with us, Nancy Heckman with Alaska Department of Labor. That was interesting information.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay. I wanted to, I got a couple of things I wanted to cover with you, Julie Soppy from Visit Anchorage, and we're not too much time, so I want to make sure I get my questions in here. We were talking a little bit about the marketing of Anchorage and the opening up of Chugach State Park and helping people get out there. Most of that is sort of the things you would think of as younger, active people. Mm-hmm. But the typical profile, at least the stereotype that I have, and I think probably a lot of other people, is an elderly person and who maybe isn't that active.
Right.
Are we seeing more younger, more active people coming in, or is that an area where we can build more growth? Or what is our demographic in terms of our visitor?
Our demographic, and it's funny how in a relative sense it now doesn't seem old to me at all, but it is coming down a little bit. And the most recent study of our 2011 visitors by the McDowell Group shows that it's just slightly above 50 years old is our average visitor to Alaska. It used to be...
That's not old at all.
It's young. Are you kidding? It used to be 6 years ago at the last study, it was about 55. So it's coming down. And I think 15, 16 years ago, it was even higher. It was closer to pushing about 60. But I think if you think about what 55-year-olds were 10 or 15 years ago and what 50-year-olds are now, I think that even the same age group 15 years ago was a lot less active than an equivalent age group right now. It seems people are a little healthier longer, a little more active longer than perhaps they used to be. So we are seeing more activity among our visitors. And we are seeing a new group come in. And this early on, Heather was talking about the shorter vacation. So while Alaska at one point used to be the trip of a lifetime, and it was that 20-day, 30-day long-haul trip up the highway in the Winnebago, we are seeing more repeat visitors and people who are saying, you know what, I'm going to focus on one area. I'm going to go enjoy these activities on this trip, and I'll be back, and I'll have a second trip where I focus on, you know, maybe it's the interior one time and South Central another time, and I'm going to do some of these activities. Mm-hmm. And I think the activities are a little more available and accessible now. I mean, the ice climbing that Susie was talking about that's taking place off of the railroad trips and kayaking out on Spencer Lake in front of the glacier, those are all new products that have only become available in the last 5 or 6 years, allowing people that kind of access and that real experience.
Are there business opportunities there for folks who want to be the small entrepreneur to get into the tourism industry? Obviously, we can't all start a cruise line, but we
right.
can. I mean, and what are the best opportunities for listeners who might think, well, I'd really like to start my own business. Maybe this is the industry I should be in. What should they be looking at or thinking about?
I think along the idea of businesses that provide, you know, a unique activity, and I know that that's pretty vague, but looking at the bike rentals that have popped up and have been very successful in the last several years, just in downtown Anchorage. We've got a Segway tour going through downtown Anchorage right now. Again, it's a pretty low cost. You don't have a lot of barriers to getting into that. And mm-hmm. now these walking tours where there really is very little cost to getting those started. It's marketing and getting the word out and a small staff. But providing access and narrative and interpretive to things that are already here. You know, those are really the smallest of businesses, but a lot of people are finding success with those. And I mentioned the ghost tours earlier. Again,
things
a
that,
lot of interest.
Things that lend a sense of authenticity to
exactly.
a visit because you're interacting one-on-one
yes.
and you're having a smaller scale visit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I would think that as we talk about this younger demographic, they might be hungrier for that than for the large tours.
Right, right. They still want to learn and they still want to have some sense of a guide, but they're not necessarily wanting to get onto that 55-person motor coach, but they might do a 10-person van or they might go out with a group of 10 other people on a bike or on a Segway, which I did last summer and, by the way, is a blast. So
yeah, I've seen
yeah.
those things running around in different cities. And
they
look kind of crazy, but it does look, kind of look like fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, great. I don't want to... I wanted to talk about winter tourism, but mm-hmm. we're kind of running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what's the very quick message there? What can we bring more people up skiing? Is it the Iditarod? What's the attraction?
Well, for marketing winter tourism, certainly this past year skiing was a great attraction because there was no snow anywhere else,
yeah.
and we had buckets of it, literally. Certainly for marketing and attracting people up in the wintertime, our events are fabulous. And it is things like Iditarod. It's for rendezvous. It's the Tour of Anchorage, our ski events.
Mm-hmm.
We speak to a very specific targeted audience, capture their interest. And of course,
and
we can
unique.
Talk value season. Yes,
that's
and it
our
is
strength.
Unique. Yeah.
That's our strength. Well, this has been great. Thanks so much for being with us, Julie Soppe. You're
Thank
the president
you.
CEO of Visit Anchorage. And my other guests were Heather Hoglund from the McDowell Group, Susie Kiger from the Alaska Railroad, Nancy Heckman from the Alaska Department of Labor. All their information is found on our website at alaskapublic.org, where you can also find the links to the reports we were talking about, and we'll get those other links up there too. Next week on Hometown Alaska, does it matter how we spell? Let's ask some spelling bee champs, joining Kathleen McCoy on the next Hometown Alaska. That's next Wednesday. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Spack is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.